Do you notice how the faces have changed over the years? You can go to any congregation across the United States, and there are people that used to go there that are not there. Some of them have gone on. Some of them have gone other places. If time's still here 50 years from now, this place is going to look different.
Yeah, right. True.
My reason for saying that is we live with change, constant change. Mm-hmm. And the title of this message is Know God for Yourself. If Brother Steve will forgive me, I would like to go back to the example that he gave. He said he went and he laid hands on the motorhome. He didn't say he called his pastor. He didn't call someone he knew could touch the throne of God. He himself understood the value of knowing God for yourself, and he laid his hands on the motorhome, and God fixed the motorhome. Know God for yourself. There are saints that have faithfully come to church, but now they're up in years and can't come. It was vital in their life that they learn to know God for themselves. Time is swiftly moving on. If you are a young person in here, know God for yourself. Well, you might say, well, Brother Aaron, how old do I have to be to know God for myself? Well, we have a very good example in the book of Samuel. A young boy at the age of 6 learned to know God for himself. So my response would be to you, as soon as you can comprehend it.
Amen.
You don't have to be 18. By the mercy of God, let me get to age 18 before I decided to know God for myself. It may not be the case with you. You might be 11 years old and God wants you to know him for yourself. Mommy and daddy ain't going to always be there to lift up a prayer for you. Grandma and grandpa's not going to be there all the time to lift up a prayer for you. Your best friend that you know is serving God is not going to be able to be there all the time to lift up a prayer for you.
Yes.
How many people were affected when COVID came around and nobody could go anywhere?
Right.
Do you know it caused problems in some people's lives spiritually?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they didn't know God for themselves. Didn't know how to get in touch with him. Didn't know how to feed themselves. Didn't know how to encourage themselves. In one place it said David was in a place and he encouraged himself in the Lord. I would like to turn to Jeremiah, the 31st chapter. Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I have made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break. Although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in the inward parts, and I am write it in their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more.
Amen.
Now when the children of Israel was out there in the wilderness, and Moses got the Ten Commandments, it was a responsibility of those who could understand to go around and share with everyone else. It was their responsibility to make sure that each and every child in that day understood what God's law was. We don't have to do that no more. This promise is from God. This is prophecy of what would happen. And I would like to read what Adam Clark said about verses 33 and 34. When vision and prophecy shall be sealed up, and Jesus have assumed that body which was prepared for him, and have laid down his life for the redemption of a lost world, and have ascended on high, shall have obtained the gift of the Holy Spirit to purify the heart, then God's law shall by it be put in their inward part and written on their hearts, so that all within and all without shall be holiness to the Lord. Yes. Then God will truly be their God and received and acknowledged as their portion and the sole subject of their devotion. And they shall be his people, filled with holiness, be made partakers of the divine nature, so they shall perfectly love him and worthily magnify his name. He said it shall be a time of universal light and knowledge. All shall know God in Christ, from the least to the greatest. The children shall be taught to read the new covenant and understand the terms of their salvation.
Amen.
I find that remarkable with what he wrote. We live in those times. Those children of Israel back then, they didn't know what was going on. They were in a dark time. But the prophet, I imagine him, when God gave him this vision and gave him this message, he probably was tears running down his face because he could see what was going to take place, but he couldn't partake of it. You and I live in a privileged time. We have the ability to come to God, receive salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have the ability to have God grant unto us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit begins to write the laws of God in our heart, and we're able to understand what God requires of us at that particular moment in time. He may not require the same thing of you as a little child as he does some grown-up, but he will require something, and as long as you follow his law, you will be blessed in your life.
Amen.
Yes. Psalms 19 and 7. Psalms 19 and 7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect. Now, I have run into some people that have some problems with the law of the Lord. But the psalmist, who lived way back before the gospel dispensation, said God's law is perfect. And what did he say it would do? Converting the soul. You and I can't go to heaven the way that we are. It's going to take some conversion in our soul by God Almighty to change us into beings that can truly enjoy heaven, can truly appreciate what he has given to this world. David said the law is perfect. Those that want to argue the scriptures, the law of the Lord is perfect. Converting the soul. And it's been mentioned before, if I have a problem with something in the Word of God, I'm just going to have to humble myself and come to grips with God knows better than I do of what I need in my soul.
Yes.
Says the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. You and I are simple. Some of us think we're pretty smart. Well, we may have, all of us are smart in some area.
Yeah.
You got people that are really, really good at math. You give them a problem, they can spit the problem out, the answer, almost immediately. You have people that are really good in English. Some people are good at science. Some people are good at craft. Some people can work with their hands, see an idea in their mind, and just take their hands and shape it exactly like they want. I built a workbench one time. I consider myself pretty good with a hammer and nails and screws, saw and drill. And so I built this workbench. But I made a mistake. I didn't draw any plans. And so I got the top made, and I wanted to design it in a way to where the legs would come down, and then I would have boards that go around the outside and a board to fit on there to be an extra shelf. So I'm working on it, got it built, got ready to turn it over to set it in place. Because I didn't draw designs, one leg was in farther than all the rest. So I had to make a few adjustments to cause it to stand up like it should. Right. Now I could have gone to someone who was good with carpentry and said, this is what I need. But I figured I could do it myself. People do that with their salvation. Well, Lord, I'm following you as best as I know how at this particular point. I don't think you need to require that of me. The law is perfect.
Yes. Yes.
And if God requires of us something of us, he has a reason for it. We don't see what God sees. You know, God had the benefit of seeing every single person from Adam and Eve up until now. And each one of those that accepted his plan and followed his way that made a safe landing in heaven, he saw the finished product of them before they ever got there. And you know that every last one of them had some places in their life where it was hard to change. It is hard for people to change.
Yes.
I can look in the mirror. It's hard for me to change. Yes. And I need God to help me change.
Yes.
Because I may look at myself and I see I'm just fine. Well, how does God see me?
Yes.
You remember when your children are small? And they're at that age when they want to dress themselves. I can do it, Daddy. I can do it. Okay. I'm going to let you do it.
Right.
And they get themselves dressed and stuff ain't quite, it's not quite lined up. It's not like you and I. We make sure everything's just right.
Yeah.
And you say, now come with me. You take them to the mirror. Look at yourself. And then they realize, oh, my pants are crooked. My shirt is misbuttoned. I put on two different pairs of socks. And I put my shoes on the wrong feet. That's what God sees when he looks at us. Sometimes when we think, I'm doing all right. Know God for yourself. Get a hold of his truth. He's going to show you things about yourself. One time I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, will you show me the things that I need to change? And the first time, he didn't answer me. So I asked him again. And he said, you can't handle what I would show you.
Oh, Lord.
I said, all right, Lord. Your way is perfect. Now I've got to recognize and acknowledge Almighty God knows way more than any of us about ourselves.
Right.
Hosea 6:3. God does not walk around with a paddle or a whip and make people change. He don't even make people get saved.
No.
He'll call after them. He'll deal with them. He'll woo them. He'll send trouble their way. He'll send things they can't handle.
Right.
Trying to draw them. Let me have it. Let me have it. God comes along with those that are saved and say, I have more for you. I have more for you.
Yes.
Do you know what Hosea said? Then we shall know if we follow on to know the Lord.
Yes.
It's going to take some effort upon our part to follow after God. He is not going to come pursue us. Hey, you come here. Let me help you get to church. Let me help you read my Bible. He's not going to do that.
No.
We have to seek him out.
Yes.
Lord, I want something from you.
Yes.
I need something from you.
Yes.
We don't want to get to the place where he allows things to come. And like Brother Marty said this morning, I'm not ready for it.
Mm.
I thought I was ready. Brother Marty, I can identify with what you said. The Lord allowed a trial to come my way that I was not ready for. And it drove me to my knees. And I said, Lord, how am I going to get through this? You know what his response was? Humble. Why is it every time we have the problem, we got to humble? Why am I the one that always has to humble? Well, because God is dealing with me.
Yeah.
I don't have control over anyone else.
Right.
And when sometimes when you go to God and you say, so-and-so did this and so-and-so did that, and God says, how did you act?
Yeah.
He don't even respond to what you said. He said, how did you act?
Right.
He is concerned, each one of us, individually.
Yeah.
So we got to follow on to know.
Yeah.
I remember my parents gave us memory verses to learn when we were young.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to have them ready for Sunday school.
Yeah.
Now see, I'm 52 years old. And the belt was a great persuader in that day. And so if I went to church and fumbled around with my memory verse, I knew that when I got home there was going to be some consequences.
Yeah.
Why did they do that? They wanted to establish a pattern and a habit for me wanting to learn the Bible. The scripture says, remember thy creator in the days of thy youth,
yes,
while the evil days come not.
Yes.
You're under that hedge.
Right.
Get to know God for yourself.
Amen.
One day mommy and daddy is not going to be there.
Right.
One day, the person that you have leaned on for so many years is not going to be there.
Yeah.
What if you come to church one Sunday and both your pastors had emergencies and can't be at church? How is that service going to go? We're going to sit here and look at each other? Well, who's going to do what? Always come to church with your lunch because you never know when you got to share it. When Jesus had all them people up there wanting to learn his word, only one person brought a lunch, a little child.
Yeah.
Be ready with your lunch. Do you know that it encourages pastors and preachers to see people come to church and light the camp on fire and encourage them? It tells them that God is working, that you are listening to what they are trying to teach and instruct you.
Yeah.
And God's able to say, all right, I'm going to change things up today.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit both of them down. And I'm going to let sister or brother so-and-so get up and have a testimony that light the whole camp up and feed everybody.
Amen.
And then people are going to go, oh, well, who preached at church? Nobody preached. Brother or sister so-and-so came with a testimony because they know God for themselves and they brought food enough for everybody.
Amen.
John, the 7th chapter. John 7, verses 16 and 17. Now, we know who Jesus was. He was the Word in the flesh. Dwelt among us. And this is what he said. Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." I marvel at the number of people that have a problem with God's doctrine. First of all, they say, "I want to go to heaven, but I have a problem with this verse here or this chapter." Jesus said, "The doctrine's not mine, but the one that sent me." So that's telling me, he's saying, it's God's doctrine. And so if you have a problem with the doctrine of God, let me ask you this question. For what you have settled for, does it have a heaven to take you to?
Lord, help us.
Or are you trying to get in God's heaven? He's the only one with the heaven. And if I have a problem with his doctrine, what do you think is going to happen over the course of my life? Am I going to get in his heaven? We have to be serious with ourselves. We have to just face the facts. Well, no, I don't like that part. I don't want to turn my cheek when somebody hits me. I want to hit them back. I'm trained to hit. I can hit them harder than they hit me. Well, what good does that do? This doctrine is God's. I go up to heaven, get at the door, and God said, "Why did you hit so-and-so?" Well, because they hit me. Do you see how silly that sounds? I said to turn the other cheek. Well, Lord, I didn't want to turn the other cheek. I'm being a little facetious.
Yes.
I'm having a conversation with God who holds the key to heaven.
Right.
And you know what God's going to say? It's my heaven. You ain't coming in.
Right.
Because you couldn't follow my doctrine. That's a dangerous place to be.
Yeah.
Many people think so much of themselves and their position that they could think that I can bypass what God has to say.
Right.
Let me tell you something. By the time you get to your end of your life, you will be tried on everything that God has in his word. And you and I are going to have to pass the tests.
Yeah.
And sometimes we may have to go through it more than one time so that we can pass the test. I mentioned the other night, 3 times on that throwout bearing before I figured out the fact that, you know what, I need to ask God. Our salvation is worth that much. This plan that God put together was so perfect.
Yes.
And it so fit every single generation that's in the grace dispensation. It don't matter that it's 2023 and everybody else there in the world is acting up.
Right.
Well, they're doing that and they're getting away with it. I can get away with a little bit. It don't work like that.
Amen.
You and I are going to be, of course, we are going to always be constantly separating from the world because the world is going straight down to hell.
Yes.
And you are not, I are not on that path. We're on an upward path. So there's constantly going to be separation between us. It's like you take iron filings and you put it on a magnet. Some of them are going to rotate around to the north end. Some of them are going to rotate around to the south. Very, very seldom do you see any in the middle. And so we are rotating to either good
yes.
and following God, or we are rotating to evil and following the devil.
Yes.
And we are going to have to know God for ourselves.
Yes.
How am I going to know what his doctrine is? I've got to get into the word. I've got to dig it out.
Yes.
I got to ask the Lord, Lord, will you open up my understanding? You may read a passage of scripture and it seems like it just goes over your head. You're not the only one.
Yes.
It's happened to me too. And I said, Lord, I don't understand that. I just read it, but I don't understand. And little by little, he began to open up our understanding.
Thank you, Lord.
And we began to understand.
Amen.
I remember one time the Lord gave me a message to preach. And I felt so unqualified to preach it. I told the Lord, Lord, I can't preach this message because I don't know what it's about. Meaning, I hadn't experienced that.
Right.
You know God is faithful?
Yes,
by the time it was time for me to preach that message, I had got well acquainted with it. And I said, Lord, thank you. I can preach the message now.
Yes.
We shall know God for ourselves if we pursue it. Jesus, he didn't even claim the doctrine. He said, it's my Father's doctrine. The one that sent me, that's whose doctrine it is. He didn't have to justify himself for these people asking him all those questions. 1 John 2 and 3. First John 2 and 3 says, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments.
Yes.
This is talking about some obedience.
Yes.
You know, all of us have been children. We've grown up, teenage years, became adults.
Yes.
When I was little, I was a little hard-headed. And I can definitely tell everybody that I got way more whoopings than all my other siblings. And my mother can verify that. You know, some of us have some weakness. We're a little headstrong. I got to do it my way.
Right.
And sometimes they would tell us to do things, but I wanted to do my way. And it was worth doing my way enough to accept the consequences. So I knew I would get the spanking. But it didn't matter. I was going to do it my way. And then you get the teenage years. And there's some spirit that rises up in you where you really want to do it your way. I remember one time I wanted to do something really bad. And my parents wouldn't let me. I didn't talk to them for 2 days. And I wrote them a really long letter about why I thought I was being mistreated. And then we become adults. I still want to do it my way. Well, you know what? When God saved me, he broke that cycle.
Amen.
He broke me down.
Yes.
And I began to understand how important obedience is.
Yes.
If you know that you are pursuing God, there is going to be a witness and a confirmation by the Holy Spirit to let you know that you are right. The old saints that I grew up around, they said this is a no-so salvation.
Right.
When somebody come and ask you, are you saved? You don't have to say, I think I am. No, there's something that's in you that testifies to the fact that, yes, I know that I'm saved.
Amen.
And that's why John said this. Hereby do we know that we know. if we keep His commandments.
Yes.
You know what this world lacks? It lacks the fear of God. I remember when I was a teenager, I was not saved. But I had a healthy fear of God. And I had a lot of friends that I went to school with who did things that I knew was wrong. But I would not do them. I said, I know that I will get in trouble with God if I do these things. They wasn't brought up that way. Some of them come from very difficult and bad homes.
Right.
And so they just repeated what the parents did.
Yes.
But you and I are blessed.
So true.
We have the pure Word of God given to us constantly. Some of us had it from a little child.
True.
6 years old can quote the whole book of Psalms, some of them. 23rd Psalm. How many of you could quote that as a child?
Yeah.
Do you see the benefit of knowing God for yourself?
Yeah.
Then there's another place, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2:15. This was instruction given to Timothy in his ministry. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. How many people have you been around that you've heard them misinterpret the scriptures? And you thought in your mind, that is not what that means. You may not say that to them. You may say, you might want to dig a little deeper into that scripture. But there are people out there, they don't know, they'll quote some scripture, and that's not even what it means at all. People use it to promote prosperity.
Right.
Well, if I do this in the Bible, it's going to bless me temporally. Study. I was a bad studier in school. I would sit in class. I would pay attention and listen to the lecture. But I hate studying. So, get to test time. Didn't study. I would take the test, and as long as I got a B, I was happy. I didn't care about A's. Because I didn't want to study that hard. But you know, it took God to work on me a little while. Because I have to study now. As Christians, we got to study. The devil's going to send somebody along with smooth talking words and a convincing voice. And if we aren't studied up in the Word of God, they're going to convince us of something that's going to steer us out of the way. That's why he said, study to show thyself approved unto God. Whose approval are we trying to get? Well, I can quote chapter and verse. Well, that's impressive. I knew people that could quote whole chapters of Psalms, multiple chapters. It's like, wow, you have a good memory. Sadly, them chapters wasn't showing up in their life. Study means I'm going to look at this topic thoroughly.
Right.
And then I'm going to see how it's working in here.
Yes.
I can tell my neighbor, oh, neighbor, you ought to love your neighbor as yourself. And then I can go because this neighbor keeps cutting across my yard. Hey, stay out of my yard. Now, love my neighbor as myself. And I have the nerve to go over here and let them have it. How is that being applied in my life? How is it actually creating an environment within me that is approved of God.
Yes.
That God says, yes, you have studied, you have applied, and I see it.
Amen.
This is what we see. Many Christians just won't go this far. They get to a place where they're comfortable, and they say, this is as far as I'm going. I don't want to go no farther. Because God's going to require something else, and I'm not ready to meet that. And you know what happens to us? I've been there. When God starts working and dealing, I say, well, I'm not going to read tonight. And it's on my mind, well, I ain't going to read tomorrow either. Why? Because I'm not ready to deal with it. Part of being a good student means that you are ready to absorb and take in everything that's being said. Those disciples that followed Jesus around, I don't think they had any idea what their life was going to end up like. I don't believe Peter understood that he was going to be crucified. But we see Peter, we see his humanity, we see him go through things and fail. Go through things and fail. But his heart and his desire was to follow Christ all the way. And after you converted, strengthen the brother. And when Peter became converted, he was able to reach a place that many of them, the other disciples, didn't reach. You know, the scripture said he would pass by and his shadow would heal people. That tells me he studied.
Yeah.
Not only that, the Holy Ghost put something in him
right. That
worked a work.
Yes.
Are you and I any different than Peter? Is Peter some special person that God said, that's the only person I want to bless with the Holy Ghost like that? I'm talking to me too.
Yeah.
What does God want to do with you?
Yeah.
You're going to have to know him for yourself.
Yes.
You and I could go to work with you and talk to all the people around you. Show them my life. But that's not what God has in mind.
Yes.
He has you there.
Yes. That's right.
They may never step foot in your church.
Yes.
But you know what they do? They watch you every day. I was dealing with some of my coworkers a while back when I was working a regular job. And I told them, I said, I used to have real bad anger issues. And I had a foul mouth. They looked at me. No. I said, I did. And I told them what I did when I was babysitting my brother, putting a hole in the wall. And I told them about when somebody upset me at school and I cursed them out. And they said, no. You and I are the witnesses wherever we are.
That's right.
I don't see you like that. They just couldn't accept that that's the way I used to be. And I told them, I said, listen. I said, when Christ changes your heart, he changes your heart.
Yes.
He takes all that away.
Yes.
I was on a job, just working the job, and the homeowner was there and was watching me do the work. And this was a Christian, a person that studies the scriptures. And they said, I've never seen anybody as patient as you. And I'm like, I'm just painting. You can only go so fast painting. But it spoke to something that God had worked inside of me. It took a while to become a patient person. I still struggle with it at times, especially with my children. That patience is tried. But you know what? We have to study. We have to look and see, well, Lord, how do you look at my children? And then it's Lord, I'm sorry.
You go to your children.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have did that.
Yeah.
Know God for yourself.
Yeah.
The only way your children are going to learn about God sometimes is watching you.
Yeah.
And they see what you do.
Yeah.
And they say, well, this is what mommy and daddy does.
All right,
you ever been embarrassed because you do something and your child repeats it? Know God for yourself.
Yeah.
I want to get John 8. John 8, 31 and 32. I want us to think about this passage of Scripture a little bit. Some people say, well, you know what? Being a Christian is like bondage. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't defend myself. I can't tell that person what I really want to tell them. I can't push that car off the road that cut me off. The reason why I say that is because those are thoughts that the devil suggests.
Mm-hmm.
He suggests that to me.
Yeah.
I'm driving along. Car cuts me off. Why don't you just push them off the road? And what's bad is you entertain it sometimes. You actually think about what he's saying. There's something that happens when we get to know God for ourselves. He begins to unlock his truth and give us understanding. And with that understanding, we go through whatever the trial is and we get the victory. And there is something that happens. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There is a freedom that comes by allowing God to take the truth, put it down in your heart, let you go through whatever trial it is so that you can learn and understand it. And it gives you a freedom and a liberty that nobody else can understand.
That's right.
And then when you come to church and we begin to sing and the joy is bubbling over, you know what that's from? I'm knowing God for myself. I've been through the experience. I've experienced the victory and the joy that comes from becoming subject to the Word of God.
Yeah.
And there is a liberty there. When I go to the bed at night and I lay my head down on a pillow, my sleep is sweet. You may go somewhere to the store or whatever, and there's temptation all around you, but because of the victory that God has given to you, it does not affect you at all. I've been in situations, had to go to company functions when I was working at other jobs, and the alcohol's flowing. And you got all your coworkers, some of them know you don't drink, so they don't even bother. But then there's others, what do you want? You want this, you want that? No, I'm fine. I'm going to have this glass of water that I got. And there is no kind of temptation at all to even partake.
Amen.
That is being set free. That's what God wants to do with us. If we know him for ourselves, we could be anywhere in this world. He could say, you know what, I'm going to take you and I'm going to put you in this city all by yourself. And he knows that you are going to live saved and sanctified in that city, and you will not be tempted in that place. Because he trusts you.
Yes.
You've proven that you, Lord, I want to know you more than anything.
Yes.
I want your word to be in me, that I'm not influenced by anything else.
Yes.
Do I know where God's taking you and his plan for you? No, I don't. But you know that our family has spent a lot of time not around the congregation, and we still saved.
Yes.
There's a power there. There is a freedom and a liberty that we have. Do you know we run into people that want us to go to church with them? They come to the door. They say this. They say that. Had three men come to the door a while back. We want to tell you about this. I'm trying to avoid saying names. And they got to talking. And I'm listening to them. And I said, let me tell you something. I said, I know God for myself. He has witnessed to me in my spirit in such a clear way, there is nowhere else that I'm going to go. I said, I have been blessed by God in his word. He comes and visits me and talks to me. Why would I entertain what you have to say? I said, let me tell you something. Get to know God for yourself. Because whatever doctrine you're following, it's not going to be there when you stand before God. Only you and God is going to be there. God didn't make it a religion. He made it a personal, intimate relationship, each one of us with him. And when we stand before God, there will be nobody else standing there with us.
Right.
Your wife or your husband is not going to be standing there with you. You're going to be standing by yourself. Your parents will not be standing there with you. You will stand there by yourself.
Right.
Get to know him for yourself.
Yeah.
1 John 3 Verses 18 and 19. I want to speak briefly about the blessing that God has in salvation, which pertains to the very first doctrine that we can get a hold of. And that is his love.
Yes.
When we get saved, when you got saved, you went to the altar and God put that witness that he had saved you. How did you view people? Do you remember that time? I had a brother when he got saved. He wanted to tell everybody that he knew. I want them to have what I have.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell them what God did for me. The love that we get when we get saved is so pure at that moment in time. We don't have any issues with anybody.
Right.
I'm not thinking about, you know that person over there did me wrong. So I don't know if I'm going to love them. Keep them at a distance. But John said this, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue. It's easy to say I love you, but in deed and in truth. Actions show our love. This is the first concept we get a hold of when we get saved. somewhere along the way, it kind of, if we're not careful, it kind of gets less and less. And then in our experiences of life, well, I remember so-and-so did this to me. So I'm going to forgive them. But it don't matter if I see them again. This love that comes from God, this is something that God is teaching me more and more. I've had some things happen in my life. And I was at that point. I don't care if I see him again. The preacher don't care if he sees him again. And the Lord began to deal. And he began to work. And you know what? Whenever a thought like that comes across my mind, you know what he says? I'd die for them too. And you know what it does to you? Now I got to deal with what's inside of me. And it seems like the devil is really good at bringing those situations along. Especially when the Lord says, I want you to go to this place or that place and preach these messages. And they just crop up. And you tried. Little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Anyone that goes to work in the work of God, you know what they have to do? They have to deal with what's inside of them. Well, Lord, I want to make sure that everything's clear. I don't want to hinder the word of God.
Yeah.
And you know what the devil brings? Love issues. You work with people all the time. You go to the store with people. You travel all around. People all around you.
Yeah.
And guaranteed, there is going to be something that you're going to have a run-in with.
Right.
And now I got to deal with it. Our love has to stay fervent.
Yes.
That scripture that says love covers a multitude of sins means something. Because there are people that cross us all the time.
Yes.
How many times have you seen things in the news that the politicians have said, and you've seen Christians get worked up over what they had to say? And it becomes a big discussion. And before you know it, if we're not careful, we argue with people over something that we're not even connected to. That's happening over there in that city, and I'm all worked up over it. Christ died for them too. God wants to redeem them just like he redeems us. God wants them to know him just like we know him. But we get caught up in that stuff. You know what our duty is? To love in deed and in truth means, what can I do in this situation? You know what I can do? I can get on my knees.
Yes, true.
And I can begin to pray.
Yes.
For those that are leading our country.
Yes.
There's a brother in Los Angeles. His standard request, pray for the leaders of our land.
Yes.
Our prayers exemplify our love for them. Can I go to Washington, D.C. and tell them about themselves? Can I tell them what God, this is what God wants you to know? They wouldn't even see me.
Right.
But there is something more powerful than me going there.
Yes.
And that is me talking to the one that I know.
Yes.
And say, Lord, you see the situations. You see everything that's going on. You see the impossibilities. And will you work? Will you allow your love to be shined in their life? It's going to make a change. We do that for our loved ones, right? I remember my grandmother. She knew God for herself. We would be over at her house, get a phone call. Somebody needs prayer. And we'd be playing. We were with our cousins. We'd plan having a good old time. And she'd say, come on, children. It's time to pray. And this wouldn't just happen one time that we would visit. It would happen multiple times. So we were always praying about something. But we learned from her. There's power in prayer. And so as we started to grow older, whenever we got into situations we couldn't deal with, Lord, will you help me? I can remember sitting in class. You children, you sit in class, you take tests. Yeah. Well, I don't know the answer. God is in class with you. Yeah. Ask him. He'll help you. Get to know him for yourself. I remember one situation. A lady would come. Her husband beat her. And she would come to my grandmother's house crying and ask her to pray for her. And this happened a lot of times. And then finally one day she came and she was really beaten that day. And my grandmother prayed for her and she felt inspired to say, Lord, fix it. And I don't can't remember, but if it was the next day after that, the lady comes to her house. She wasn't beaten and bruised up. And she said, Zanola, you don't have to pray that prayer no more. God has taken care of it. This is what it means to know God for yourself.
Yes.
I can't always call my mom and say, Mom, I need you to pray for this. I need you to pray for that. Sometimes it's the middle of the night. You can't reach nobody. What am I going to do? Well, we'll wait till the morning. When Brother Tavis or Brother Henry wake up, and then we're going to call them and ask them for prayer. It might be too late by then. You and I have to know God for ourselves so that we can touch the throne of grace and get an answer. First John 4, verses 11 through 13. This hits home. I talked a little bit about church problems that we have seen in the past. This apostle was inspired to write this. Yes. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. For no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us. And his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. I hear a lot of people say, I love God. This is part of getting to know God. And God is still teaching me this. I love God. And then you got a handful of people. Well, I don't mind. It doesn't matter to me if I'm around them or not. There's just something about them I don't like. How can I not love them, but I love God?
Right.
I haven't seen God. I've experienced his presence, but I have not physically seen God. You know what God is doing? He's sending that person that you have a little bit of a problem with so that you can learn to love like he loves. We're not going to get along with everybody. Sometimes we're going to always have a difference of opinion. Some personalities are more aggressive than others. And it may be something that turns us off. But do I have the love for him?
Yes.
This is a close place.
Because
I'm not there yet. There's a lot of people that I run into, and it's, Lord, help me to love them like you do. Because right now I don't. Just got to be honest. Lord, I don't love them like you love them. Yeah, I love their soul. But can I say I really love them? The Lord says, well, you love me. You haven't even seen me. That's a tough place to be. You know, I worked for an individual that graded me the wrong way every day. 20-some years. And God worked with me over and over and over and over. It seemed like I would have the victory, and then they would say something else. And it would just, it's like having a wound that's almost healed, and you scratch it open again. That's what it was like. And I go back home, get on my knees. Lord, I thought I loved them. I thought I had your love for them. Our personalities clashed. Our way of thinking clashed. This person was not a Christian. Well, I looked at, they're not a Christian, God. That's why they act up all the time. But I still got to love them like that. And you know what he said? He might get saved because of you. That kind of throws you back. That reminds me of, was it Nana that said that? I might have to give them their last cup of water.
It was one of her sisters.
One of her sisters was not saved. And she was a mess. But she said, I got to treat her right.
Yes.
Because I might have to give her her last cup of water. I don't want to be the one that is the stumbling block that causes somebody to miss heaven.
Yes. Right.
So our love, getting to know God for ourselves, means to develop the love that he wants us to have. And it's got to stay fervent. The enemy is good at taking love out of our hearts. Why is the divorce rate 50% or higher?
Right.
Because Satan has been successful in taking love out of people's heart.
Yes.
And people say, well, no, they're not saved. That's why they divorced. That's not true. I knew a couple, neither one of them were saved. And they had been married for over 60 years. And they knew how to work together. And they did not have the same personality. So we can't say they're not saved. They wasn't saved. Yes, that the devil can work with that.
Yeah.
But that's a commitment that people have.
Right.
And that love, if it's working, it's going to help us in them times. A lot of us are married in here.
Yeah.
We've dealt with some things. And it has taken the love of God for us to get through them. One more scripture. Ephesians, 3rd chapter. Ephesians 3, verses 17 through 19. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, God is still working with me on this. I'm endeavoring to get to this place. I'm not there yet. But the Lord gave me these scriptures, so I have to give them to you. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of God, the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. This is a challenging place. And I want to use this example for this particular passage of Scripture. Let's say you buy a house. House got 3 or 4 bedrooms, 1 or 2 floors, don't matter. And you go in the house, and you only go in the entry, the kitchen, and your bedroom for months. You never go in any other rooms. And someone asks you, well, what's your house like? Well, I got this in my entry, and I have this in my kitchen, and this is in my bedroom. My bedroom looks like this. And they say, well, what other rooms do you have? Well, I don't know. I haven't been there. That's what's this like. He said, breadth, length, depth, and height. That means that you have done a thorough exploration. Well, I can tell you there's this little crack on my wall in this room. In this other room, they didn't quite put the outlet straight, so it kind of leans to the left. In this room over here, the light flickers. There's a spot where they did the tile just a little bit longer than one of the other pieces. That's what I mean. To get to know God for yourself means you are going to explore everything He wants you to explore. And He ain't going to throw it at you all at once. It's over your lifetime. He's going to bring things. He said, now I want you to work on this. Now I want you to go over here and I want you to work on this. And sometimes He'll work to a particular depth. And He may come along 10 years later and He said, now I want you to dig deeper here. Because there's something I have just a little bit deeper for you. This is what it means to know God for yourself. Children, get a hold of this. You live in the most uncertain world that we have experienced to this point. And it's going to require you to know God for yourself. You are being challenged in school with principles and doctrines that are contrary to what God has put in order. And if you don't know God for yourself, you're going to accept that stuff. Yeah. And you'll come home and you'll tell your parents, well, my teacher said there was this big explosion. And all of a sudden, everything appeared. Now, I've seen some explosions. And there is no order to explosions.
Right.
It goes everywhere and it tears all kind of stuff up. And it just don't magically, oh, we just put the earth just right here in a perfect place so it's not too hot and not too cold. That is from the devil.
Right.
And if you don't know God for yourself, you'll be duped by it. Then you go away to school. Now I'm not at home with mommy and daddy. And if I haven't put in a good foundation, what's going to happen to me when I go off to school? Satan is going to have his way with you and I. Because we're going to see everybody, people go crazy at schools. They do all kinds of things. And then when they come back home, their life is messed up. Because Satan has had his way. You and I are going to have to know God for yourself. When you are an adult, it may be that your mommy and daddy are around. It may be that God decided to take your mommy and daddy and you're here by yourself. You got to know God for yourself.
Yes.
When you reach old age, you don't know what God's going to allow to come upon you. And you are going to have to know God for yourself. Because it may be that you can't be around everybody. And you're going to have that working in here.
Yes.
In those hard times when you are suffering.
Lord bless.
You're going to have to know God for yourself. We trust that the Lord will bless you. God desires to know all of us in a great and intimate way.
Amen.
You know, all this confusion about religion, it's because they got it all wrong. It's a relationship.
Yes.
It's just like Adam and Eve over in the garden. And said God will come down and visit them in the cool of the evening. Now, I would love to be a fly on the wall in that garden to hear the conversations that they had. I imagine it was some of the most precious time that they had. And then to be driven out. Know God for yourself.
Amen.